Welcome to episode 100 of The Numbers Game. We're raising the bat, boys. We are here. It's Jason, as you all know by now, and I'm joined by Nick and Marty. How are we going today, guys?
Hang on. I've asked for red carpet. I've asked for cakes. A lot of our audience has asked for Jason to jump out of a cake. That's not happening. Okay, what's going on? But we are in a studio, lads, so this is, it's a good feeling. Nick, how are you? 100. Well done.
Marty, you had one job, bring the streamers, and you cooked it. So here we are at a old wooden table celebrating our 100th episode.
But naked. Yeah. No ear. Are they, headphones? We're really good at this technology.
Glad you clarified.
Naked at a wooden table from the ears out. Anyway.
Super effort, though. I'm proud of you, boys.
I'm stoked. So I have my little moment of reflection, kind of looking back over the 2 years last night in preparation for this. And yeah, I was pretty chuffed, guys. I mean, there's a very limited number of podcasts that end up getting to episode 100. But before we get into that, just thought I'd check in you guys. You guys are well, everything's good. Nick, you've done something to your nose for those at home who might be able to.
Yes, I did. No one's probably watching us, but I actually scratched myself in my sleep. So I woke up with a pillow covered in blood. And had no idea what that was, obviously, until I looked in the mirror and I had blood all over my face. And well, not all over my face, but all over my nose. That's exaggerating a bit, but every story needs a bit of mayo.
Just the excitement of the 100th episode coming up.
I dream most nights. I'm trying to remember what I was dreaming about, but I don't know. Maybe self-defense. I'm not sure. But so now I've got this big long scratch right down the middle of my nose. Wasn't domestic violence. My wife's overseas at the moment, so we have a cat. Cat doesn't sleep in the room. Cat gets locked out. So, yeah, must have been me.
For all our lady listeners, a bloodied up Nick Riley is just something to hook straight into YouTube with, I think. But I like your point, Jace. You know, a lot of podcasts go for 8 episodes. So, you know, that's where a lot of cap out. So to get to 100 is a tremendous effort. So, yeah, and I'm proud for the listeners, you know, kicking in for 100. You know, they've spent a lot of time with us as well.
100%.
So it's a good feeling.
And we've got a lot of new listeners. Like, I had a text message today from Benny, and he's probably listening. Shout out to Benny. Just got on the podcast and is loving it. He's addicted to it. So I think we've got some new followers as well, which is good. 100 episodes in.
Beautiful. Guys, that's great news. Before we get into it, today's episode, we're going to be talking about where we were 2 years ago when the first of the 100 episodes dropped to where we are now and some key learnings over the 2 years. But before we get into that, I'd just also like to say a big thank you to both Future Advisory and Innovate. You've already thanked us.
I thought there was going to be a moment there.
No, I'll get to it. You haven't seen my extra notes about when I pour my heart out to you guys, but let me get through the sponsors and we can dive in and get all emotional. Future Advisory, obviously tax, accounting, and the team there are always pumped to look after Numbers Game listeners, as well as Innovate for financial planning and mortgage broking services. So we wouldn't be here. We wouldn't have got 100 episodes done without the support of our teams at Future Advisory and Innovate. This show definitely does not happen without them. And, you know, putting it together as well, just as a bit of a, why does the Numbers Game exist? I spoke on at an expo about the podcast at the Australian Accounting Business Expo at the Melbourne Convention Centre. And I was asked to come in and talk about the podcast and podcast insights, and basically to show them a video of Tommy and said, we don't do that much from the back end. It's all well supported by our team at the Numbers Game. Producer Tommy, thank you very much as well. Wouldn't be here without you.
Here. Well done, Tommy.
But yeah, getting up on stage and having that opportunity to talk to our you know, people who weren't familiar with the podcast as well, plenty of questions around that. And yeah, it did give the opportunity to, again, reflect back on what we've been through and how we did it. So I might kick off with a little bit of information on podcasts. You did take the 8 episodes, the average podcast that launches. I've got some older data that said 7 to 8 episodes. Only 13% of podcasts ever launched, according to ChatGPT, and just asterisks that all this info comes from 2021 backwards. I did look into more research, but nothing's as efficient as ChatGPT. 13% of podcasts make it to 21 episodes.
Wow.
And then basically reaching 100 episodes, only 3% of podcasts ever launched have made it to 100 episodes and beyond. We are in a pretty unique territory there, guys.
That's interesting. But it shows you again how much work goes into it from everyone involved too, I think. And, you know, that's quite interesting, those stats.
Well, it kind of relates to businesses. I don't know the stat, Jace, but you'll know this. What's the stat? Businesses getting to 12 months.
Oh, but basically 3 in 5 businesses fail after the third year, basically.
Yeah, yeah.
And so 80% of businesses don't survive.
So I would say from an effort point of view, because I think a lot of people that have done podcasts, it probably is a business for a lot of people, or there's some sort of revenue opportunity that they're chasing. So very similar to a business. Requires effort, requires grit, perseverance. And it looks like not many people.
And it always sounds like a great idea initially, but like you said, you've got to put in the hard work and you've got to have consistency, turning up every week, mm-hmm. have good people around you, but you've got to have the longevity in it. And I think that's the thing. People like the idea initially, and then after about 7 or 8 episodes, because again, there's a cost component of it, there's a time component of it, and people, you know, just sometimes aren't willing to make that time, you know, investment as well as cost investment to 100%. Get to 100.
I think you also need a purpose, and I'm stealing this from you, Jace, because I did listen to, I'm 3/4 of the way through your Cub podcast with Daniel Haakam, which is very good, by the way, so well done.
Thank you.
But you mentioned the purpose of the podcast, and it got me thinking that you mentioned our purpose as well, which was brilliant, and you might want to bring that up again because I can't articulate it as good as you did. But I think it's similar. We have an actual purpose for the podcast. It wasn't, okay, we want to make money out of a podcast and let's go and do that. So I think if you don't have that underlying purpose and it is purely revenue generation, or you're trying to promote business, or if you're trying to bring revenue into your business and you don't have an underlying purpose beyond that, it could fall over.
Yeah, and it's a great point because a lot of people start a podcast for the sake of starting a podcast as well. And you have to understand what your intention is and what you want to accomplish. Because again, we have execution channels in regards to Future Advisory and Innovate where, you know, we are generally making money in our own businesses anyway, and it's an extension of that. But some people do the podcast not thinking about how they might be generating revenue or what's the marketing play based on an existing business. And I remember a radio producer actually saying to me, they're going, well, radio shows and TV shows are produced specifically to sell advertising. Mm-hmm. Now, we don't want to be doing that so much. It's relevant to our business, but you have to know what that intention and that outcome is in regards to doing what you're doing in the podcast.
Maybe repeat that purpose. Could you do that if I put you on the spot?
Yeah, basically, and if you listen to the Cub podcast and hear it sounds a little bit different, it's basically articulated as we exist to help people have a better future, or we exist to provide value to people who may not be able to get that elsewhere in the start of their financial journey. So that idea of existing to help people have a better future or to help people have a better life, that's a pretty powerful purpose. And when you go about your life and know your purpose and what you're doing, whether individually or as a business or as a podcast, the purpose is the strongest thing that will get you to keep committing and keep doing it. So for us, I mean, far out. I mean, how many hours have we put into planning and recording and everything else over 100 episodes? The money that we've invested in, you know, from our businesses as well to get to where we are. And we don't track and measure what this does for Future or Innovate. We don't sit there and go, shit, maybe we should cancel the podcast because, you know, we've only got X amount of listeners. We come in and we keep coming back every time because our purpose is to help people have a better life.
Yeah. And I think to anyone out there who's thinking about doing it, what I think we all agree is it does get easier. So it did seem pretty arduous at the start, getting together, coming up with the content. But I think we almost, I don't know, tried to make it too much of an agenda. Like, I think now we get together an hour before and we just have a bit of a chat about what's going on, and then bang, we've got the content. So
yeah.
I think it does, you know, for anyone that is thinking about starting one, hopefully it's not a competitor of ours.
But, and what Jace was saying, that's the heartbeat of the podcast, is that purpose is why we do it. But we do have that execution channel, and I think you need both. And we have businesses, because imagine putting all that time in with no revenue driver at all. Mm. Like, if that's your intention, right, and you haven't thought that out. So again, I would encourage people to think about what's the intention. For us, we have a purpose, but we also have our businesses that's connected to it. And whether it's not directly making money as such, it still provides a massive marketing platform for people to find us and get to us while we're adding value doing what our purpose is. So I think sometimes people miss that component, or they have one and not the other.
Yep.
And you really need both to make it purposeful and, you know, beneficial overall. Yep.
And I think fortunately, even as part of the Accounting Business Expo, where I had to kind of get up on stage, sent you guys a photo of you guys up on the big screen. And, you know, it actually made me think about, you know, what's made us able to do 100 episodes? And I think the idea of when we got together of having accounting, financial planning and mortgage broking all sitting around the one wooden table talking about different aspects, different ideas, I think that was the unique combination of if I was just doing an accounting podcast and talking about tax and accounting stuff all day, every single week, I feel like that loses its appeal a little bit. But the fact that we can-
so much more, hasn't it? Like we talk about, you know, business issues and things that relate, mental health, things that relate to our business, things that relate to us personally, direct things that we hear from our audiences. So it's, it's amazing how it's evolved. We still have those components as our foundation piece. But yeah, I think it's become much more holistic in regards to business and personal finances and business finances.
I think as well, like we aren't necessarily just satisfied to keep going the same way every week, every month as we keep going. As our seasons progress, we get deeper into conversations about what do we tweak or change to make it a little bit better, or how do we get our audience more engaged? So I think, again, even though we're 100 episodes in, we haven't even scratched the surface as to what's possible with where we want to take this and what we want to do for us, our business and our listeners, and how they can get involved and be more part of, you know, a numbers game community or the future and innovate community. So plenty of different scope of where we can go. So this, I might kick off unless one of you feel ultimately, you know, like you want to jump in, but on the key learnings over the last couple of years and, you know, with the Cub podcast, the expo and with this episode in mind, I did also have a bit of a look at, you know, where we as a business were 2 years ago. We had 15 employees in March 2021. And 2 years on in March 2023, we have 28 employees. So I think as well, you lose track and part of this reflection, you can lose track of how far you've come when you don't stop to look back and see the path or the journey you've been on. And I think, you know, where I was going to go with this as well, and we've doubled the monthly revenue. I mean, double employee numbers, doubled monthly revenue. So back then we had the capacity or capability of about 150K a month. Now we're at over 300K a month. And like even the thought back then, if 2 years ago you'd asked me, you know, what would it be like to do that kind of revenue per month and would it feel hard and whatever, I would have gone, geez, far out. It's hard enough doing 150K a month. Imagine doubling that and having twice as many people. What a nightmare. But consistency and flowing through. And I wrote down a couple of words, you know, that's, I mean, look, revenue and number of employees is one thing, but then also the number of businesses we've helped and, you know, getting through periods like COVID, there was a lot of like emotion that came up for me as I was going through and pinpointing some stories that were relevant over the last 2 years. But the words I wrote down, I might go through one by one and get you guys to kind of chime in a little bit. But, and this relates to the podcast, not just growing future advisory, but one of them was patience. So I think it takes a lot of time and effort to build something successfully. That success doesn't come overnight. So if you're not patient and you think that you can start something and just expect it to be an overnight success, those unicorns that are successful overnight are so rare and it doesn't happen. And I think that's why the, you know, those stats around 80% of businesses not existing within a couple of years is because the patience wasn't there. You if you expect that success and, you know, when you're striving towards your goals and progress is slow, too many people give up. So for anyone out there who is in a business or wants to start a podcast or whatever their journey is, patience, I think, is a big element to not thinking that success will just come overnight.
Yeah, well, I think it's everything. And we've definitely quoted the flywheel effect before on this podcast, which is out of Jim Collins' book, Good to Great. And the flywheel effect talks about, you know, the fact like most businesses seem like an overnight success. You know, you see someone all of a sudden they're, you know, they've got a lot of money or they seem to be successful or whatever it might be that that suggests they're successful to you. But there's always a story behind that. And for us particularly, like we're a great example of that because I think it was probably 8 to 9, maybe even 10 years of gradual, slow growth, and then things just went bang. And even to the point where the growth has probably slowed again now, which we'll definitely talk about. So, yeah, there's always that element of you don't know where a business has come from and what it's gone through. And you've got to be patient, and you've got to, you know, Marty's favourite things, like a game of chess. You've got to continue to make moves and try and progress. But from the outside in, it often looks like overnight success. But in 99% of cases, unless they're a tech business, that's not the case.
Yeah, it's the everyone wants that get rich quick idea, or same with strategy. We talk about the podcast, people are in and out in 7 episodes because it wasn't what they thought. And it's Warren Buffett's got a similar book, The Snowball Effect, in regards to, you know, compounding your effort and compounding your growth in regards to your business and your life in general. And that's the, I think it's really important. And I just think that I haven't seen, if there's a quicker way, you know, let me know, because I'd love to find it. But everything takes time, effort, concerted effort. Mm-hmm. You have to go through twice a year thinking, why the hell do I do this?
Yes.
Because, yeah, at least 2 times a year for 20 years, I'll say that. But the one thing I've put in my brain is whenever that comes up is to say, you know why. Because that incremental effect over time keeps expanding. And, you know, that's where the rewards come, because of that resilience in that patience and execution. So great comment.
Great word, resilience. The next one was consistency. I thought about, you know, how over the years and years that we've been running either Future Advisory again, I've kind of tied in the both the podcast and the business, but consistency. We're not bouncing up and down like a yo-yo. We drop our episodes, we started off every week, and then now we've split to the bi-weekly. And then there was a bit of time where we did a couple of week break, and people started reaching out going, geez, did I miss the episode, or when's that next ep coming out? And that for us was really validating to have that happen. So consistency around the service that you offer and what you're doing, you can change systems, you can change technology providers, you can change your phone number, whatever it is. But the quality of the service or product you're delivering needs to remain consistent. And if you change something and you've changed it for the worse, your customers or your listeners will know. So that's a pretty basic, simple one. I think with consistency as well, you're going to get setbacks and challenges where, you know, the product or service you're offering is challenged, whether that's by a competitor, by changes. I mean, you guys had the Royal Commission, which probably put mortgage broking and financial planning through the absolute, you know, absolute shit show. And you had to find way to remain consistent and keep offering the same quality of service that you were in the past. So consistency.
Yeah, I think consistency is why most people fall away from consistency is discipline. And I'll give you a really simple example. Like, I'll always take a shower and then go and walk the dog, right? My head goes, just walk the dog and have a shower afterwards. And I go, but I set myself that task to go get clean, do a little walk, come back, and, you know, the day begins positively. But it's like, that's the sort of thing, you know, you front up every week. You know, same with service. It's so easy in business because you have ideas all over the place to get distracted and try and implement 20 ideas at once. And that's where I've seen business owners really get into the trouble, rather than really keeping the main thing, doing it brilliantly well and just, again, expanding. So consistency is a big one. And I like that. And I think it's the self-discipline within that that's important as well.
Yeah, both great points, and I haven't got a lot to add, but I just think of a conversation I had yesterday, maybe the day before, with one of our sales team who had said probably the wrong thing to a client. And the conversation that we had was, you know, your delivery of service or the way you treat clients has to be consistent no matter what. So no matter what's going on with that client, maybe the client was in the wrong. That can also be the case. But as long as the client wasn't doing anything too bad, you've got to be the consistent one. The way that you deliver your service and the way that you front up has to be consistent, because they're our clients at the end of the day. And what we do is service them. So, and that then expands out to your moods. How are you feeling? You know, how are you coming into work? You can't let those things impact your level of consistency with your clients.
I need it. Like, I don't function well without consistency. And I think if I'm reliable to myself, I'll be reliable to others. And I think people know that. I think, it's...
I thought that was a good word, because it applies to, you know, how you offer your services or your goods or how you run your business, but also your mood, which was a great point to add. I mean, if you're not consistent the way you front up to work and your mindset and your team or the people around you, even your wife or partner at home, if you're not consistent in how you act and behave, and one day you're a moody arse, asshole and the next day you're smiling and happy, people don't know how to approach you. Like, how are you going to kind of move forward? And, you know, so consistency applies.
And you deal with challenging conversations quite regularly in all aspects of life. Yep. But you might notice this in the workplace, but before I respond, a lot of times I'll just pause and take a breath, because the internal child in me is throwing axes and hammers and all sorts of things, but no one can ever see that, right?
Yep.
So I take a breath, be calm, you know, just be consistent in my communication, and then that gets me out of a hell of a lot of trouble than if I was just reactive.
Yep.
So again, and then people feel safe in that communication, and then I can deal with it when I take the dog from
what, medieval Marty throwing axes and hammers. Yeah.
Well, you just never know what you're going to get. Don't snap me.
And the inner child as well, throwing the toys out of the cot with a tantrum. So, next one, got three to go, so I'll keep powering through. But, you know, this was a really enjoyable process for me too, to think about all aspects of life. And one of them, I mean, I don't want to mention the C word, but COVID happened, right? And, you know, the word pivot your strategy, and pivot was everything, but the word flexibility. So while we need to remain consistent, have patience of how long it takes us to achieve our goals, flexibility is also super important to go when you've got a long-term plan and you've got a path of how you think you're going to get there. If something varies or changes, you need to be able to be flexible in that plan and be able to vary and change the path to still know where you're going with to get to that end goal, but also be okay taking some different steps along the way to get you there. For example, we started this podcast, we were recording in studio. Awesome. We loved it. We were face-to-face, COVID hit, and all of a sudden we went to recording online. It threw us. It was, you know, we could have at that point given up and gone, geez, we're not enjoying chucking a headset on and staring at a computer for a couple of hours recording. But again, we were able to be flexible and went, you know what? Let's get this done. The messages we've got and the stuff we're sharing is important. Same as working from home with our team during COVID, and, you know, also when other things kind of, you know, industry changes and market challenges, like, you know, you guys might have been writing a lot of home loans when it was 1.8, 1.9%. And now the conversation's going to be different around how do we tackle the 6% mortgage or 6% interest rates kind of thing. So flexibility and adaptability to changes, I think, is super important.
Paramount. Absolutely paramount. I think, again, like people with great business plans, it's a direction, and like it's very surreal to look back on a business plan when you've set it, and you look back when you get to the 5-year mark and look back in hindsight and you go how different that business has evolved. But it does give you a clear direction. I think resilience again plays a part with everything that's thrown at you in business. And I, in some ways, as much as it's annoying when you're hit with challenges, it kind of invigorates you as well if you've been around long enough to know you can find a way, keeping the main thing, but still having the flexibility to adapt. And I look at the market as not the market we're in, but what's the market that's coming.
Yep.
So you've got to deal with the realities of where you're at, but where's the market heading and where's the opportunity in that market? And you'll still be doing, you know, numbers and finance and everything else, but there might be an opportunity that exists in this new market that wouldn't have in that other market, whether it's good, bad, or indifferent. So I quite like the challenges. Sometimes I'd like them to be less, but it's but again, the more you move through that, the more you get comfortable to know you're going to be okay moving through that type of scenario as well. So
we actually have another word for it in our business, which we've only really come up with the last few weeks. We're calling it dynamic. So
dynamic.
Having the ability to make dynamic decisions. So, of course, we've got a roadmap and we've got a plan of where we want to go. And we think it looks like this, but there's definitely going to be circumstances throughout the year where it's not going to look like that. So we need to have the ability to make dynamic decisions. It might not be because there's a challenge. It could be because there's an opportunity, to Marty's point. So, you know, we've got to be dynamic enough to be able to go opportunity, challenge, go after it. And no, it's not what was on the roadmap, but that's okay. We should still get to where we were going, whether it was X, Y, or Z. We might just take a little bit of a different direction. So dynamic decision-making.
I really like that word too. Next one, and made a lot of them over the last 2 years is, or made a lot of them, but the lesson that I wrote down was learning from mistakes. So if you're going to make a mistake and not learn the lesson from it, that's a wasted opportunity. So the learning from mistakes over 2 years of whether it's, you know, a split with business partners, or whether it's, you know, the people that you've hired and you've made some wrong hires that didn't work out. Either way, all of these things happen for a reason. And I think that on that journey of when you're working towards that end goal and you know, I'm another 2 years into a goal that we've set, either business and personal. But over that 2 years, there's been lots of learnings from mistakes. So that one, I think, as well, you know, a lot of people can let their mistakes kind of throw them, and it can let that ruin them and get really negative and, you know, turned against, you know, whatever they want to, how do I word it? I'm trying to think of it, but you know, what is it? Demotivated.
Yeah, you know, well, there's the danger that happens is you consider yourself a failure through the mistake. Yeah. And if they layer up, then you lose confidence and then people get stale and stagnate. So to me, it's failure. Growth.
Yeah,
to me, it's work. Growth, because you always come out of a situation that doesn't work well and learn something so you don't do it again. What you do have to be careful that it doesn't present in a bigger form later and you do it in a new way. So you really want to self-reflect and even write it on a page and go, this happened, not so good. What would I do differently to optimize that situation? So if it does present in the same form, fantastic. Or if it presents in a higher form, like as you go through your business journey later on in 10 years, that you don't make that core mistake. So really great opportunity. I've readjusted that in my head, but definitely in my late 20s, I really labored on mistakes. I didn't like it, took it personally. And now I go, all right, these are things that happen. How do you readjust quickly? Yep. Don't get stagnant on it and then create a better strategy forward. But it's a great point.
Yeah, and I really liked referring back to the podcast with you and Daniel. This came up.
Yep.
And you boys spoke about this, and that's where I'm up to, actually. So that's why I remember it the most. But I really like what Daniel said. I'm a massive believer that everything happens for a reason. Yep. And when you asked Daniel his three mistakes, his words were, look, I don't like to call them mistakes because I don't think I would be here in business where I am without them happening. So again, it's all just part of the journey. I had another conversation a couple of days ago with a close friend of mine who's in construction, going through some issues, as a lot of people are, but has really come through it and has worked out what he needs to do now to progress in his business. We've had a lot of conversations over the last couple of months, and you know, unlike a lot of people who are just putting their hands up and saying it's all too hard. He's worked out what he needs to do to progress and what works in his model now. And he was nearly self-employed. So this is his first crack at it. But now he's like, now I'm set. He goes, I'm not going to go back to work for someone because I know what not to do now. I know where I went wrong. I know what I've got to do to be profitable and to move forward. And he's kind of got a new lease on life because he feels like he's better than he was 2 years ago when he started the business.
Yeah, well,
to
he's
your
strengthened.
Point.
Yeah, he's so, strengthened his understanding of that.
Yeah, so you've just got to make sure the mistakes are not catastrophic. But you know what? If they are catastrophic for that business, as long as you've still got your health, who really cares? Yeah. Just start again. There's always an opportunity to start again. And the way I said it to my friend who was in construction, and this was not to be smart at all, but I almost treat it as a game. If you treat business as a game, you know that if you lose, you can always start again. So look at what's going on. Obviously, there's there's bigger things at stake with money and employees and stuff. But if you always bring it back to it's a game, how am I going to get through this? What are the moves I need to make? Okay, I think I need to do this. So that's what I'm going to do. And then just go for it. And if it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out. And there's always a time to start again.
Perfect way to explain it. It's like in footy when there's an error on the footy field.
Yep.
The second effort's always harder than the first effort where the error happened. Mm. And I like that. Mm. I take that on board. And like you said, when you've gone through that a number of different times, it does create a strength and you know you can handle these things. And if it is catastrophic as well, you go, yeah, it sucks.
Yep.
Yeah, there's no other way to put it. It sucks and it hurts. But how long are you going to sit there? I've seen people sit there for 5 years, right? Other people, it's 5 days. Other people, it's 5 hours.
And to finish off the footy analogy or the sport analogy, when an error like that happens, after the game, you review the error. You look, you learn, you analyze, and you go, what can we put in place to make sure that mistake doesn't happen again or the learning doesn't have to happen again? I think you might have heard on the episode how I deleted the ABN of the accounting firm. Were you not up to that yet?
I'm not there yet.
Oh,
mate.
That's a doozy.
Come on.
Maybe, sorry, well, you'll get there. It's a fun one. You'll hear more on the episode.
I still have my home.
We're going to be sending everyone to go listen to the Cub, keeping up with Cub at this stage. Learning from mistakes, really important to analyze. That's it. And then the last one, I mean, wrapping it all up, and the part of how I got to this was about perseverance and having a long-term plan. They were my kind of things that I wanted to wrap up, and don't know if I mentioned at the start. So this is where all of the stuff I've talked through is getting from, you know, the word perseverance hit me, and the reason that we've been able to persevere was a long-term plan. And the final part I wanted to add was staying focused. Mm. I see time and time again, business owners and probably those people that started the podcast that didn't work out, they got distracted, they saw something shiny, they had a different business idea that was different to their core plan or the long-term plan of that original idea that they were striving and working towards, and they got distracted. They weren't focused. They didn't have a deep enough desire or a strong enough plan to get from here to here, and it failed. You know, again, we go back to those stats of the number of businesses that don't last or the number of podcasts that aren't still here today. Yeah. There wasn't a strong enough reason for why they existed, and they weren't staying focused. You know, and taking it outside of business and podcast, I look at Greg, who's nearly on the verge of running for 900 days straight. He's got a long-term vision. He's got a plan about his fitness. He's got patience and consistency. He's had to flex sometimes when, you know, you have some days that don't work your plan and you've got to kind of make it work. He's probably made mistakes in his running technique and whatnot over that time, but he stayed focused. So I think that message of staying focused and then even taking it back to business, definitely seen business owners that their core business might be, you know, an electrical business, but then they see an opportunity to do, let's say, solar installations, and they put all their eggs into the basket of the government rebates from solar installations rather than their bread and butter, let's say, bricks and mortar houses. And all of a sudden the government removes solar rebates, and all of a sudden all their eggs are in one basket. So quickly thrown together example, but yeah, staying focused and perseverance.
Yeah, I like that. Like I see a lot of people having idea sex, and I'll explain that a little bit more when they jump into one idea to the next idea, thinking that it's the ideas that's the problem rather than their execution piece on it, the accountability piece, the perseverance piece.
Yeah.
I see that so often. The idea sex. Or that doesn't. Idea sex. Yeah. They have idea sex. They get all excited and fornicate over the idea instead of worrying about the execution. You know, you got to plan the date night. You got to have a nice meal. You got to map out the family. You know, where do you want to live? You know, all these great things that is to me a part of life. But that was something I saw a lot with business owners, and they got more excited about that than actually the execution of the idea that they initially had and committed to it. Particularly if it works too. Yeah.
So
they make it work.
So it's a good point. So how do you stay focused though? Because it's I think
this is probably a very natural segue into what you might be talking about today, Nick, from a how do you stay focused and the idea of having a long-term plan, which was kind of where I was going with perseverance and long-term plan, but then how do you actually execute that and make sure you've got something that keeps you focused and accountable? So I might throw to you to go talk a little bit about where you went with the idea of where we were 2 years ago, where we are now, and mostly the key learnings.
So I think the big thing we want to talk about was the key learnings.
Yep.
From where we've started 2 years ago to where we are now. So we haven't grown a great deal. I think we had around 35 employees, excluding our offshore team a couple of years ago. Today we're at around 45 with our offshore team. Offshore team's has grown significantly. But we have, our business has evolved a lot because, you know, talking about COVID, the way that we do business has changed a lot. For the better for us, it's made us far more efficient. A lot more tech's been introduced to the industry, which should have been introduced a long time ago. Not to bore people with it, but being able to do electronic IDs, people getting comfortable with Zoom meetings, that has saved us an immense amount of time, both in and out of the office and on the road and stuff. So that's probably been the biggest change in our business in the last couple of years. And really excited as to where the tech side of things is going to go in our industry over the next couple of years. It's going to make us even more efficient and help us focus on the things we do well, which is, you know, give advice to clients. So, but we spoke about the biggest learnings the last couple of years, and I've learned a lot, but I'm just going to bring it back to business and business only. We won't go down the personal path. But we went through a process, which you went through as well, Jace, through a leadership course with Adrian Hondros. And we went through and created what what's called a statement, your strategy on a page. So you talk about business plans, Marty. So many people put these amazing business plans together, and then they get put in documents on the desktop or whatnot. I was going to say put in a file, but that doesn't happen anymore. And they never get revisited. So the thing that Jason and I learned through this this leadership course was you should be able to articulate your entire business strategy on a page. So that was a really good exercise to go through. But what was the best, in my opinion, the best thing I took out of that was what are the metrics to measure in your business to know that you're going towards that strategy or you're on the path to that strategy. So everyone wants to grow their business. Everyone wants to make more money. Most people want to hire more people. So a lot of the times you're on a hamster wheel and that's what you're trying to do. Okay, we're writing more deals. We're bringing more money in. Got more headaches. That's okay though because we've got some more people to manage it and whatnot. But the strategy on a page is, well, okay, well, what are you actually trying to achieve? Mm. What are the five things? If you get those five things right, you know that you're achieving your strategy. So talking about focus, we know that there's five metrics in our business. I'll just talk about two.
Yep.
One of them is net profit. So what's our net profit margin? And the other one is growth. So obviously when you try and grow a business at an increased rate, you generally hurt your net profit. You can bump your net profit up if you extract growth. So, you know, we've got a really good balance of both, or we would like a really good balance of both, and we know what they need to be. So our entire focus now is on those two metrics. If we hit those metrics, we know that we're going to hit our overall strategy. I'll take you through a couple of more because it is actually worth explaining them. Another one is staff turnover of under 10%, voluntary turnover of under 10%, so people who choose to leave. Another metric is overall growth of our revenue per client number, because we know if we hit that number, it's going to get towards our strategy. So we've got five key numbers that we need to hit, and you can even get it down to a monthly basis. If we're hitting them monthly, we know we're going towards getting our strategy or our top three goals or whatever they are for your business. So it's really dumbing it down is the wrong word, but really simplify it. Just focus on those three metrics. If you get those right, then you're going to get the whole plan sorted. So that's been the biggest learning for me because it was all about growth.
Mm-hmm.
And it was all about net profit as well, but not linking the two up and not understanding what are the two or three things that we need to focus on to get there. So that is definitely my biggest learning in the last couple of years, put together a strategy on a page.
Yep. Interested to know, once the strategy on a page is put together, and obviously this has been a whole episode back with Adrian Hondros as well, we talked about it on that episode too, how far have you gone into sharing that strategy on a page? Is this shared with the whole organization or key kind of senior leaders?
At this stage, it's a leadership team, yep. But it'll be the whole organization.
Amazing.
Yeah, 100%. I think it has to be. And yep. The argument to that will be, well, you know, you are showing your team your profit and your team might think it's all about growth. But the reality is they're in a business that pays them. They want to earn more money. They want to be in a business long term. Yep. They want opportunities to progress from a career point of view. They should want our business to grow.
Yeah.
Now, net profit margin is not crazy. Like, it's actually low compared to some other businesses out there because we also want to balance that with growth. So I think people need to, particularly the younger generation that's coming through, they want to be part of something. They want to know where they're going. So it's no longer, in my opinion, oh, hush, hush, no one needs to know how much money we make. Like, it's obvious how much money we make. You can do the numbers easy in our business to work out what the revenue is. So, you know, people are either on the bus with the business or they're not. And if they're on the bus with the business, then sharing stuff like that shouldn't be a problem. It should really motivate people.
100%. And I'll just add to that as well, because I really like what you said about how they, your team members should think about, you know, things like net profit or growth percentages. You know, if one of the words we're throwing around, Greg and I did a little strategy session last Monday, and it was around the mindset, like mindset of the team and mindset of our future hires. And, you know, when I think about mindset, you know, when I was an employee, I wanted the place I worked for to be super successful. That excited me. I wanted to be part of that journey. And I think, from a mindset point of view, if you've got people in your organization that want to punch in at 9, leave at 5 and not care about where that business goes, that's going to be the wrong mindset overall when you are going to share a strategy on a page or have them be part of achieving those goals that you're going towards. So that either helps them align to your vision and gets them excited about it, or they start to figure out that this place isn't for me if I need to kind of be too heavily involved in this strategy on a page stuff. And
yeah, and I think about a couple of other metrics that are valuable as far as the, I'm talking about the team being aware of them. So voluntary turnover under 10%. Now, if I'm an employee, I'm looking at that going, well, these guys want to keep us. They actually care about us being here. So they're going to do things to make sure that we're content with our job and we're not going to go anywhere. Revenue per client. For us, we've got multiple service offerings. So it's very important for the stability of our business that we are offering clients more than one service. And the services are all complementary, so they can all feed off each other. So if you do a home loan for someone, then they might need insurance. If you do, someone buys a home, they generally replace their car within a 9-month period. So we should be doing that car finance. So it's really big for us and it adds to the value of our business. So if our staff members know that, and they know that the value of the business underpins their own security long-term and the money that they can make, then they might be more inclined to let someone know on the phone that, hey, do you know we do car loans? Do you know we do financial planning? So I think it's highly important. And I think anyone, any staff member that would read those metrics, and I'm referring to ours now, and think and get disgruntled, I just think they're not right for the job. Like, you know, it's all about growth and the business going to growing together. So,
well, it kind of seems like the strategy on the page is doing its job. You know, it's helping you get towards your goal and where you want to get to because it is mapped out. It's simple and easy to understand on the one page.
And it's changed from 10, 15 years ago, people just wanting a job. They want to be invested in a company they believe in and they want to be a part in some way, shape or form in that growth. But like you said, Jace, like whenever I've worked for someone, you want the best for that business and you want the best for the clients of that business. Because of that, there's that flywheel effect again, that snowball effect. So I go, and you can see what people naturally, you know, move towards that within your organisation. So to have that on a page and to communicate that thoroughly throughout, I think is only a huge advantage, really, ultimately.
Yeah, and just the last thing on the strategy on a page and linking back into something we spoke about prior, but the other thing is it needs to be dynamic, and this is something that I learnt. So just because it's a strategy now, it doesn't mean it's going to be the strategy in 6 months' time, 9 months' time. You've got to, again, have the ability to make a dynamic decision. So if things change and the strategy's not working or there's something you need to add in or take away, then you need to change that.
Yeah. Ultimately, your purpose and reason for existing won't change, but some of the other fundamentals that bolt it all together may change.
Yep, so, exactly right.
No, I love it. Speaking of
really good.
Reasons for existing, Marty, very curious to hear what you're going to bring to the table on your key learnings or your two-year journey so far.
Well, for me, it's probably going from business sense but also more a personal sense.
Yeah, nice.
I think for me, the last 2 years, I've recognised it's been a big aha moment that my generosity without certain boundaries can cost a lot of money, and that's not just last 2 years. That's probably throughout my life. So that's like, and the best way to explain that is I certainly have an optimism bias. So, and that's relating to people. So I always think I can develop people beyond where they're at. And I think just some of the learnings I've had probably pretty recently, last 6 months, is to go, when you have a position available that's expected for the company, then there needs to be an execution on that position that's in alignment with the business goals. And it's a subtle thing because it's great. You're always developing people anyway. But to me, I've always believed that you can develop someone into that role. And sometimes it takes time. You know, it's like the patience thing we spoke about earlier. But then there's a necessity too that's required for the business to hit certain, you know, targets that need to be met because that's what you're hired to do. So for me, I was doing some reflection on it, and I think this is a superpower as well as kryptonite for me as well. So there's been some, you know, some massive upswings because of that generosity, but I think it hasn't had boundaries around it that are very much set and forget as well. And I think for me, I know if I've got the alignment right between those two, then there's another level in my leadership as well that just provides real clarity to the person. And it means that those timeframes in regards to performance are brought back into really, really accelerated levels, as opposed to, you know, developing into mm-hmm. those levels. So subtle difference, but that's something I think I've just picked up over the last 6 months. That, and I'm thinking, how much has that cost me?
Mm.
You know, believing in someone that might never come to that point.
Yeah.
Whereas I can attract that person up front that is already doing that and make them even better. Now, that's something that's really cool. And I bet you there's a lot of leaders out there and business owners that have had that as well. But that's been a big one.
It's getting like my brain kind of ticking and going, that, you know, generosity. Like, how much does it cost? Your time, your energy, your effort, all the things that we do in our day-to-day lives. And, you know, whether it was necessary to put in as much effort or generosity as we may have for, you know, certain people or certain businesses or whatever it is, I'm getting triggered going, I've definitely persevered longer than I should have on some things, and knowing when to cut your losses or to stop that, because there is a cost and a toll on yourself when you're doing, you know, donating your time to someone or trying to help other people. I look at it and go, you know, very conscious of burnout being such a big thing that people talk about at the moment too. You know, if you're not looking after yourself first and you're putting so much energy and effort into looking after everyone else around you, eventually that can come undone, because if you break, everything else falls over around you. If you're one of the kind of key people that is dependent in your business. So, you know, yeah, be conscious of where that is going.
You're right. You haven't got anything left. And I say generosity with boundaries, because I think generosity was, like I said, can be a superpower in some ways, because you get, you know, longevity and loyalty with the people you interact with. But there's a weakness in it too that I've understood by just reflecting on it, to go, you know, just bringing people into the expectation of what's expected. You can develop within that. But I go, now what I found was the people that were very self-motivated flew with that leadership, absolutely broke through many different barriers. But there are others that, you know, can take advantage of that in a way. And if you're treating that person as the same as the other person that's flying, it's dangerous. So you need to have your boundaries in there. So, yeah, but that's something I've learned. And I think, yeah, on many fronts, that's something I'm certainly working on.
Resonate, Nick?
100%. Yeah, and you know, Marty and I have reflected on this together at times over the last couple of days, more than anything. So, yeah, 100%. And I think you do forget the thing with business is there's a lot of other people in the business that you need to look after as well. Yeah. So I think for me, thinking about what Marty said, it's protecting the overall business at the same time. So protecting your own time for sure, but how much time are you putting in areas that you're not getting recognition for, you're not getting reward for, you're not getting response that you would expect? And what detriment is that doing to other areas of the business? So for us, the epiphany we've had is we'll double down on the people that want to do well.
Yeah.
Why try and bring other people up if they don't, if you've got a gut feel, and we've talked about the gut feel before, you've got a gut feel that people aren't quite there, then double down on the ones that you know that are, and let everyone progress. And so that's what really resonated with me based on our chats the last few days. And we've kind of got our business to a point now where everyone is there, wants to be there, wants to progress, and it's exciting, you know. It's exciting versus, trying to get them up. I'm not sure. You know, why bother? Like, you know, there's other people in the business that need you, you know, so.
And I think a humility statement, which is the older I get, the more I learn, the more I realize I don't know. And I think that's, you know, just that self-reflection piece is so important. That's not a negative. That's actually a strength to keep developing, because, like I said, I always want to learn and grow. Like, I'm 50 now, so, you know, it's critical. I don't want to be stale either. So we talk about being a part of a dynamic company, which Innovate is and Future Advisory is, but I love that because, you know, you're challenging yourself no matter what age you are, whether you're 20, whether you're 50, whatever, 60, it's like you're continuing to grow. And I think that, to me, I've always been that way wired, but I think coming to 50 and just having, you know, things go on in your life and you have a new appreciation for the opportunity you have with your workmates, with your friends, family, and it's yeah, it's smell the roses too. Yeah. To go, you know, you can impact it every moment. Make sure you're you have a healthy recognition of you do actually enjoy what you do, no matter what goes on in the day, and don't get too caught up on it because sun comes up tomorrow and you get another chance to rectify a mistake or amplify an opportunity. And I think that's – I love the game.
Yeah.
Like, I love the game. But I know I love the game now. Mm. In my 30s, I was questioning it because I'm going – far out. There's a lot going on here. Am I?
It's a great message to love the game and love what you do, and probably use that to kind of round out that we do love what we do here at the Numbers Game. And thank you for joining us for the 100th episode. But the important thing, we want to keep this going. We want to make it to 200, 300 and beyond. And as much as we wouldn't be here without our teams at Future and Innovate, we wouldn't be here without the listeners. And the shout out to the listeners I'd probably say is, our numbers have grown, our weekly downloads are growing, the performance of the podcast is going up, but we'd also love to reach more people. So if you haven't yet followed, subscribed, liked, told a friend, please, this is your opportunity to help us celebrate our 100th episode, get behind the Numbers Game podcast. And even if you're not on LinkedIn or Instagram yet, jump over there. We do share some content there. And, you know, myself, Nick and Marty, as I'm looking at the wrong people as I'm saying the names, we are available. We would love to hear from you if there's any way that any of the three of us can help you in your life. This is what we're here for, and thank you very much for your time, and thank you for listening.
Absolutely. Game over, but I think we're just starting. Bye for now.